Welcome to Accessibility Craft, where we explore the complex challenges and emerging trends that are shaping digital accessibility while sipping on unique craft beverages. This show is proudly produced by Equalize Digital, the most trusted name in WordPress accessibility. Join us every week as we break down accessibility news and share the expert strategies we've used to help make millions of websites more accessible. Grab a drink. The show starts now.
Hey, everybody, it's Amber, and I am here today with Chris.
Hey, everybody.
And Steve.
Hello, everyone.
And this is episode number 166 of the Accessibility Craft podcast, which means you can find show notes and a full transcript if you go to accessibilitycraft.com/166. We start every episode with beverage. What are we drinking today, Chris?
We have an interactive beverage today. So we are trying dry cocktail mix packets, which you can mix with just water or the liquor of your choosing plus some water. So the instructions are to get a glass of ice and then a separate glass with either 3 shots of water or 1 shot of liquor and 2 shots of water. And you stir everything together in one glass, and then you pour it over your ice cube. So I think we're all set up. So I've got my ice.
You forgot to say you've got your ice in your WordPress highball glass.
Yes.
From WordCamp US in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. The OG WordCamp US. I'm going to try to get this on camera. We'll see. So we're going to and try not to spill too much. Hard to pour out of shot glasses. I'm going to have to clean my desk off after this. And then pack it.
What flavor are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing mojito. So that was a shot of rum. Shout out to our content specialist, Paula, for the rum, which she also gave us at a WordCamp US in DC. Wow, it really smells like mint. I've got the mojito mix in there, doing a bit of a stir.
And this is we'll how you can tell we ice. Don't drink cocktails, because we don't have a shaker.
Yep. Or it says you can stir it. It doesn't say you have to shake it.
Probably because most people don't actually have shakers.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I can get that on camera, but there's like stuff that isn't mixing in at the bottom. I'm going to keep trying here.
I wonder
here.
If it would have mixed better if you mixed it with the liquor first. If it would have like burned it.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
So I have the whiskey sour, which says it's got organic blue agave powder, citric acid, lemon juice, monk fruit, natural flavors, which makes me wonder, do you think it's going to be blue when it comes out?
I don't know, maybe.
Is blue agave actually blue? All right.
This
is like a science experiment or something. All right.
Yeah.
Whiskey plus water.
What's nice is that stuff that didn't mix stayed at the bottom of the glass that I poured it out of, so it didn't end up in my actual drink.
I'm shaking mine first to see if that will help.
They're real dusty. I'm about to sneeze from a...
You're not supposed to inhale the powder, Steve.
Yeah, I'm snorting the margarita mix.
And you got the spicy one. That would hurt.
I know. I think that's why I'm about to sneeze.
Oh, mine smells kind of orangey. I guess that's the way a whiskey sour would smell.
Yeah.
So I'm trying the non-alcoholic, so just 3 shots of water. I don't have a fancy highball glass like you guys, but...
You're going to drink spicy water.
Spicy water.
Well, I'll give my initial impressions here while y'all mix. I get a little bit of mint. I get some citrusy-type flavor, which is nice. It did tell me to mix with soda, but we didn't have any soda water, so... I have a still mojito and not a sparkling mojito. And I also think this is the wrong kind of rum, because I don't think you're supposed to use like brown rum with a mojito. I think you're supposed to use white rum. Not a mixologist, so don't at me, bartenders that are listening to this, if I am wrong. But
I didn't even know there was a such thing as white rum, so you're ahead of me.
It's nice. I'm not really sure how to describe this, but it's like you can kind of tell that it's from a mix. Like, it doesn't taste as fresh as if you had, like, muddled the mint and added the citrus juice, right? But I guess that's to be expected, but it's not an unpleasant flavor. It masks the alcohol. Mine has the rum in it, and that rum is strong. And I'm not really getting, like, a lot of alcohol burn. It feels pretty balanced. Overall, I'm gonna say this is pretty darn good. Have you tasted any yet, Amber? Or you're about to do your pour?
No, I'm showing you that I think I successfully got all the chunks of powder mixed.
Oh, good, good.
I muted myself and I did some very vigorous stirring. So now I'm going to pour it over my ice cube and then I'll let you know what I think. Steve, mm-hmm. you seem like you're being very serious right there.
I'm mixing. It's hard to get it all mixed in.
So this is how the whiskey sour looks. It's not blue. I guess blue agave is a lie. It's not actually blue. I'm going to taste it. We'll see. It's not bad.
No?
It is a little bit sweeter than I expected it to be. But it has a decent, like, orange flavor. And it has a little bit of the sour. And yeah, like you said, Chris, it does a good job of, like, covering
masking
the alcohol or taking the bite out. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you wanted it to be stronger, you just put a little less water, I guess, maybe. But it's not bad. Maybe, yeah, I don't know.
Like, if you're just a everyday person who doesn't want to mess around with figuring out the right ratios for a mixed drink and figuring out, you know, how much lime do I put in, how much mint do I put in, you know, all that. If you can just remember 2-to-1 water to alcohol and one packet of this on some ice and you're good, like that's a solid value proposition.
I'm having a real hard time getting mine to like mix.
Oh.
Like yeah. There's like a
That might but, be all the spicy at the bottom.
I know. That's the spicy chunks you're going to get in your last swallow.
It smells like, what's that orange powder stuff that has a bunch of fiber in it that you drink?
Oh, like emergency? Like the...
it stayed in the cup, so maybe I'm all right. Here we go. Here's my flavored water.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to get the spice level report.
Does it taste like a margarita, Steve?
Yeah. It's good, too. Like, it's not bad. There's no alcohol in it, but I mean, it's spicy. So like, I think since it's so hot, it kind of feels like there's something in there that's not in there.
You know, the thought I had about these, there's a couple of use cases for these where I think it makes sense. One is if you're like camping or something and you don't want to take like all the mixers or like the fresh herbs or whatever, but you still want to be able to have it. But the other thing too is, so Chris had mentioned that Paula gave us that bottle of rum that he's drinking. What was that, 3 or 4 years ago?
A couple of years. Yeah, right? 3 years
ago. So if you are someone who doesn't drink a lot, the benefit of this little packet is it doesn't go bad, right? I mean, also, could you take this to outer space? Like, could the astronauts be making themselves some cocktails with? What is this called again? Batchwell?
Yeah.
I see lots of uses. And I would say flavor-wise, I'm pretty impressed. We have had, like, other things that are not out of a powder that taste way worse. I think I might be a 2 thumbs up for this. Like, it wouldn't be my everyday. I mean, obviously, since it takes me 5 years to get through a bottle of liquor, but it's still enough. And I can think of use cases that I could see myself going out and buying it again. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to enjoy my whiskey sour while we talk.
This is really spicy. Like my whole mouth. I mean, it's good. I like spicy stuff. So it's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it literally feels like there's alcohol in here because it's so hot in my mouth.
You need some enchiladas and Mexican rice to like balance it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good though.
I'm looking forward to that. We'll have to go buy some tequila.
I'm a 1 thumb up for the drink quality. For a powder, it's great. And I'm a 2 thumbs up for smart package design. I don't know if this is coming across on my camera very well, but they've got this little get a refill QR code in the bottom corner of the back of the package, which I think is just kind of smart. They have it on every single one of their little packets.
Have you scanned it? What does it do? It just goes to their website so you can order more.
I mean, this is a digital podcast. I might as well do it, right? Here, let's see. See if I can even get my phone camera to focus on this.
Okay. Now, we can also judge them. I don't know if we've done this yet. You ordered this off Amazon. So I guess that sort of ish wins for accessibility. They sell it on Amazon because most of our user testers have always told us they buy things on Amazon, so. But where that QR code goes, I don't know how accessible that is.
I don't know if this is kind of, but it's going to a QRs.ly, and it's just sitting there. Now we got a redirect to pixelfy.me and then another redirect to Amazon.
Then
the Amazon is a generic search for margarita mix, which isn't even the drink I had. Oops.
But now they have all those URL parameters.
Yeah.
They are good at creating alcohol, not so good at marketing.
I mean, I give it a thumbs up. It's pretty good. I mean, it tastes way better than I thought. It's a little hard to mix in. I think you really got to spend some time mixing it to get the full, because like you can see, I missed a lot. but pretty good.
Christmas present. We can buy each other shakers.
There you go.
As we enjoy our cocktails here, it is the day after Global Accessibility Awareness Day. I would argue a particularly exciting and successful Global Accessibility Awareness Day, full of real action to improve accessibility and not just talking and learning. So I'll share a couple of stats, and then Amber, as is tradition, and Steve can get into the nitty-gritty of some of the things they did, because I don't have a lot of interesting things to share that I did personally, because I just spent the day testing the Bloxy theme for accessibility ready requirements. So that's all I did. I didn't build anything. I didn't lead webinars. But
hey, that was a very good contribution to the WordPress community and to accessibility, because I think a lot of people use that theme.
Yeah, it has like 100,000 installs, so that's definitely worth something if they take the feedback and do something with it. So we had 98 people pledge for our Global Accessibility Awareness Day pledge program, where people could pledge their time to do accessibility work. A total across those 98 people of 364.5 hours were delivered to improve accessibility in WordPress, which is pretty darn cool. So Amber, I'm curious, because our big focus as a team was doing stuff with the accessibility ready requirements. Do you want to take people through a little bit of what we did and kind of what the results were?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's worth noting, I did think this was interesting. In 2025, we had 86 people pledge 382 hours. So we had fewer people, but we actually had more hours. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, because I didn't want people to think that you have to give your whole day to this to make a difference. And that was a big way that I changed some of the communications. And then because we had a specific project that was a follow-up on the huge accessibility ready guideline update that I worked on with Joe Dolson for WordPress themes on WordPress.org that want to use that accessibility ready tag, we had something that was really concrete, which is we needed people to test the existing themes that already have that tag against the new guidelines and provide feedback to the theme developers. So that was the big priority. And I was really happy at the number of people who showed up on Zoom, sat on a Zoom webinar with me, some of them for like 5 hours, which was really awesome. And testing, learning how to test and that sort of thing. We had 28 themes get tested, actually 29. It's not quite the 108 that I was hoping for, but I do think that was a huge dent. And I've already talked to Joe Dolson about making this a project at WordCamp Europe to help continue the work that we started yesterday. So that was my big effort, and I was really happy with that. What happened on the dev end of things, Steve?
Yeah, so on my end of things, I worked on a few improvements inside of Gutenberg. One that had started a little bit before GAD, but spent a lot of hours on, was adding a decorative checkbox to the Gutenberg image block. And that has since been improved. And I did some testing on the new breadcrumbs block that was available in WordPress 7 that came out 2 days ago. And I found that it was reading out the separator. So you can define the separator. And it's actually just implemented on the page with a pseudo element. And it was being read out by the screen reader, which is not a huge problem, but just a little annoying. So when it comes to like submitting stuff to Core or to Gutenberg, sometimes the fix is quick, but the actual writing of the issue and the writing of the PR and the back and forth on the PRs can be where all your time is taken. So I got that submitted yesterday. So it's nice to actually just do a full loop on identifying an issue, creating a PR, getting it submitted, and then last night it was approved without change. So in the next version, which would probably be a minor patch release or something that comes out fairly soon, because they always come out shortly after a major release, we should see those two new features available to all WordPress users throughout the world. So on the other side, William put together a script that can be run inside of CI, and it's an automated tool that checks WordPress themes against the official accessibility ready requirements. The standard a theme must meet to earn the badge in WordPress.org, which Amber was just talking about and which Amber and Joe have done a lot of work on. And so basically what this is it's a Playwright script that runs the AX rules that kind of coincide with those requirements. And you can put in a theme and you can direct it to certain settings pages and it'll run these checks. He's got some things in there about doing almost like user profiles to almost test with different disabilities as far as an automated test could go. But this is something that you can install in your GitHub CI to run on plugin updates to ensure that your theme or your WordPress plugin are remaining accessible.
Sounds incredibly helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that an open repo on our GitHub? Equals digital GitHub?
I know it's something that was in the works. So I think William, I don't know how many hours he pledged for GAD yesterday, like 4 or 6 hours. So I think he was able to get pretty far with this, but I'm not sure if he's rolled up the repo yet. But if he does, before this episode goes out, we'll be sure to include a link to that GitHub repo.
So, of course, the other big thing that happened this week, which you alluded to, Steve, is that WordPress 7.0 was released. And I think partially that might be a little bit of an impact on our GAD pledges, because there were quite a few people who did things related to Core last year that this year they were like, they reached out to me and they're like, I wish I could, but I'm so sorry. We have to be testing and doing the release party because it's going to come out less than 24 hours before the start of GAD. So I do think, though, it is worth talking about it and some of the things that have come from WordPress 7.0, from an accessibility side, the fixes, the enhancements. Should we first take a quick commercial break and then come back?
Let's do it. This episode of Accessibility Craft is sponsored by Equalized Digital Accessibility Checker, the WordPress plugin that helps you find accessibility problems before you hit publish. Thousands of businesses, nonprofits, universities, and government agencies around the world trust Accessibility Checker to help their teams find, fix, and prevent accessibility problems on an ongoing basis. New to accessibility? Equalized Digital Accessibility Checker is here to teach you every step of the way. Whether you're a content creator or a developer, our detailed documentation guides you through fixing accessibility issues. Never lose track of accessibility again with real-time scans each time you save, powerful reports inside the WordPress dashboard, and a front-end view to help you track down hard-to-find issues. Scan unlimited posts and pages with Accessibility Checker free. Upgrade to Accessibility Checker Pro to scan your website in bulk, whether it has 10 pages or 10,000. Download Accessibility Checker today at equalizeddigital.com/accessibility-checker. Use coupon code ACCESSIBILITYCRAFT to save 10% on any plan.
Okay, so, hot topic. The colors totally changed in WordPress 7.0. I feel like it wasn't as shocking to me because I've been watching you demo it, because you've been testing with it for a while, right, Steve?
Yeah, several months, and WordPress 7 was delayed a little bit, so we had even more time with it before the release. So yeah, I got pretty familiar with the colors, but I would say maybe at first it was a little bit like, man, that's a bright blue. That's a really bright blue.
Same blue that you see on a lot of WordPress.org. I think it started there, and then there was this whole conversation that Matt Mullenweg said where they wanted to reskin the admin, and so it was like, oh, let's add this to core. But I have been watching the response on Twitter and in the admin bar Facebook group, which is super interesting because I think a lot of folks in there probably don't test release candidates. So they literally saw it for the first time or even knew that it was there after they hit that update button. And man, you're not allowed to quote people, but there was this one person who was super not into it in the admin bar. And he said, you know, I'm all about accessibility, but I don't need this change. I don't need higher contrast. I don't think my clients do. Like, should we actually release it for everyone? Which I do think is interesting because that actually wasn't an accessibility. And hence, it does have better color contrast, but I don't think that was why it was introduced.
No.
I think it was introduced for modernization or something, right?
I think if you go into a lot of dashboards and many SaaSes, a lot of them are using a similar bright blue like that. And I think it just has a more modern, clean feel, especially on top of white. So, yeah, I saw a lot too yesterday come out. Like, people like, the admin is a million times worse. You know, it's just so like sensationalized. And it's not like, it's
for the eyeballs and clicks, right?
Yeah. And it just
did people change anything other than the colors? Like, I was trying to figure that out because he said it was the whole redesign. But then I'm like, all they did was change the color. Did anything else about the admin UI change?
Didn't some of the table styles change as well? Like, just minor enhancements to some of the table styles, I think, in certain places.
I guess I missed that. Maybe I need to look.
It's very
minor.
They
weren't very big changes.
Yeah.
Didn't notice them.
Well, the thing that kind of caught me about the color contrast a little bit when I first, you know, started testing with, I think, beta 1 or maybe even before that, was that not just that the colors were changed, but that where there were different colors, they were unified into one color. So, like, the little bubble that shows you, like, how many plugin updates you have or, you know, if there's comments or things like that in the nav bar used to be red, and now they've been normalized to be that same blue. So it's kind of a wash on the admin that it's just the dark gray and the light gray and the blue, and you kind of dropped out, like, the red color to show, like, you know, that you have updates and stuff. So that was a little jarring to me at first, but I don't even know if jarring is the word. It caught my attention. I think it's an improvement, and I think it's okay to say it's an improvement. I know that us in the WordPress community, we don't like change. At the same time, we're saying we want WordPress to be modernized, and we want it to change, and we want it to catch up and be like React or be, you know, more AI forward. And then we make a color change, and the whole community is like, it kind of like, really, guys?
Yeah, and that actually segues perfectly into another comment that I'll read, which was someone saying that if the community complains about this, i.e. the color change, then I firmly believe this contributes to the problem as to why WordPress is so lacking and outdated overall. So if we can't even embrace a modernization of a default color scheme, how are we going to evolve and keep up with these other emerging platforms, right? To your point, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, that's a perfect way to put it. And I will say this too, like, with the click of a button, you can just set it back to the color theme it was before.
Yeah.
And
yeah, so if you like your WordPress equivalent of Windows 95 teal, go back to it. Like, you know, it's okay. It's okay. You can live in the past if you want to live in the past.
I mean, I did see Zach Pyle posted a little function that he wrote that finds all users on a site and resets it for them because he's like, I don't want to have to explain to my clients why their colors are different. So, I don't know. I guess that makes sense.
Now, I will tag on that, you know, a little fun thing that we've done on our end is that, and I think we've talked about this a little bit in a previous podcast, but Accessibility Checker now will inherit those styles on the front end and the back end. So, you know, go pick your, I don't know what to call it, pumpkin spice or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And this
was the great color contrast plugin debate episode from a few months ago.
Yeah. So if the pumpkin spice schema is your favorite, then Accessibility Checker will come along with you. And
Accessibility Checker now in pumpkin spice flavor for your enjoyment.
Wrong time of year. Wrong time of year. Although I will say, we were on a kickoff call with a client earlier this week, and we had her share her screen so we could see something about her WordPress. And she was using, like, slight blue with white. And I was like, man, the contrast on this is so bad. How do you look at this all day? I have never changed the colors of my WordPress admin at all. But now that I know I have the option of having a purple heading with accessibility checker, maybe I am going to switch to the purple color palette because, you know.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the colors are getting a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
But there were like 70 plus other accessibility enhancements, fixes in this release. Some were related to color, but others weren't. And Amber, you did some work before this recording identifying a few to call out. Do you want to lead us in a couple? Because I think you even have some tickets that you raised for this.
Yeah, I got my props for my contribution to 7.0. I'm doing a little dance for anybody who can't see me. It's so nerdy dorky. But I do kind of like seeing my name on the contributors list when a release comes. I tweeted about this earlier, and I was like, yeah, I don't know if this ever gets old. But I did do a review back because I was trying to look. It's a little bit hard to get an actual number on how many tickets are truly accessibility focused because not everything that is accessibility actually ends up having an accessibility focus. Sometimes people set it somewhere else, but then we notice or someone on the accessibility team notices it, like Joe will, and he'll be like, oh, I'm going to take that because this is definitely accessibility, but nobody's added the focus. So it looked like there were 33 tickets with the 7.0 milestone that did have an accessibility focus, but there were 69 that Joe Dolson owned. So I'm going with this. There were 70 plus number. That's what I'm calling it without me like cross-referencing and comparing. And of course, he's not the only person who does accessibility work. So there might be tickets that didn't have accessibility that were owned by someone else.
Now, these are all track tickets, right?
Yes, track tickets. And I did not look at what was in Gutenberg. So actually, maybe there's hundreds. I don't even know.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. We can post links to this in the show notes if anyone wants to check it out. But my two tickets that I opened were the taxonomy metabox tabs. Were not programmatically identified as tabs. So that was one that I had opened 8 months ago and it got closed 3 months ago, but it had been milestone for 7.0, which is a really interesting thing about how WordPress releases work. Sometimes things make it into a point release and sometimes they just say, nope, this is going to go in the next major version. So there's a fix that was available but not available.
Could I ask you a question about that one, Amber?
Mm-hmm.
The tabs not being programmatically identified, did that mean that people couldn't get through them with their keyboard or were they just not being read out properly on a screen reader or kind of what was the like the user-facing enhancement that came out of that one?
Yeah, so basically, if you can visualize this meta box, for example, the categories meta box, there's a tab which by default this says all categories and then you could tab to a view that's like most used or something like that. And they would technically be able to switch them because there were links. Basically, it was an unordered list of two items with links in them, which of course is not correct because a link goes somewhere. It doesn't toggle visibility of something. But they could have been used, although people wouldn't really know necessarily which one is currently being shown. They'd have to into it. They'd have to figure out if it worked when they selected one because there is no like aria selected or anything telling them that, oh, yeah, your tab has been selected now when it wasn't previously. So that, you know, it definitely made it a lot more workable for screen reader users.
Mm-hmm.
And for like arrow keys was added as well, right?
Yep, so it has better keyboard navigation as well.
Yep. Very cool.
And my other one was also related to tab keyboard interaction, Although tabs in a very different context, which is inside of the media modals, when you open that, there are actually tab panels, which people might not totally realize are tab panels. But when you're able to choose like upload or select or like the galleries, different views that are in that media modal that opens, those are tabs. And previously there was a tab stop on like the whole container so that you would tab from the control where you select the tab you want to see, and then it would go to the container instead of the first focusable element. So my ticket, which was opened around the same time, 8 months ago, was initially like, we should probably assess whether this is actually the right behavior. Because in NVDA in particular, a tab stop on a container can be incredibly verbose. It basically reads everything in the container, which if you can imagine the media library going to the tab panel that shows all the tiles of all the images, right? Like it just reads and reads and reads and reads, and it's really overwhelming. And because there's not a lot of content before the first focusable element on any of those, like it's usually an input or it's like a filter dropdown so you could filter what images you're seeing, we determined that it was better to remove that tab stop. So it is interesting, like you can open tickets where you're like, this is actually a problem, or you can also open tickets where you're like, I think this might be a problem. Can we talk about it? And that's kind of the difference between those two different tickets that I had opened.
Yeah, and these are the kind of PRs I like, right? Like that are just like, this is literally just remove tab index. Like that's all you had to do. It's like two, three lines of code. And I love clean, little, beautiful fixes like this.
Yeah, so full disclosure, before we started recording, I was trying to go through and pick a couple of these that I might be able to talk about and highlight. And one of the ones I picked, because it jumped out at me, was a 13-year-old ticket. And boy, the second I started reading, I was like, why did I pick this one? But it's the review usage of target equals blank in the admin. I started reading this and it's just like discussion, 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 bleeding into discussion about, hey, this discussion's getting too long. We need to split this off into other tickets so we can discuss the discussion more. And the discussion kept on evolving until it eventually got closed in this ticket, and I think branched off into some other enhancements for future releases. But the other one was a simpler one, thankfully, for my brain power, which was a WordPress core's password reset now pre-populates the username to meet the WCAG 2.2 requirement. So if you're not familiar with that requirement, I don't know the exact criterion number, but there's a new requirement in WCAG 2.2 where basically if the website already should know some of your information and you're filling out a form, it should pre-populate those fields with the information it knows about you to not waste your time. And this is particularly helpful for users who have to spend a long time interacting with forms because of how they type or how they enter information. Maybe it's cognitive, maybe they're using a sip and puff device, so it takes a while to type, whatever it is. This is to help them. So it was cool to see that requirement added as well.
I was just going to say on the note on the like 13-year-old ticket, yeah. I do think this is definitely an issue, right, with WordPress. And there was a whole conversation. It's not too long. I mean, I don't know if it was a conversation, but Matt Mullenweg was like saying stuff about that in Make WordPress Slack and about how, you know, there are like hundreds and hundreds of tickets. Why do we have this many? Why are they that old? And then I did see someone suggest maybe we should have AI like go and assess some of these really old tickets. But then they were like, we don't want to pay for the credit. But it does get hard when you have a ticket that has, I mean, like that one, it was open, it kind of sat. Then it seemed like there was a big amount of discussion 10 years ago. And there was some action on some items, but it wasn't enough to close the ticket, right? And then it sat again. So you have to go back and be like, wow, I'm reading this. And some of the people aren't even around contributing to the project anymore. I would say it's definitely a challenge, and I don't envy the devs who have to work with tickets like that.
Well, so this one is very interesting to me on many levels too. First off, the criterion around submitting tickets to Tract maybe is more strict now on what it requires when you put a ticket in, because this description of this ticket is very vague and very far reaching, right? I mean, it basically starts out and says some links in the settings page open in the same window, which sometimes can be awful. okay. Like, it's awful.
Not even a why. Like, not explaining that, you might lose your progress if you haven't saved.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's no examples given. It just blankly says general discussion permalinks, things like that. Like, there should be specific examples. These should be broken out into smaller tickets. Catch-all tickets really become a huge issue in programming. And, you know, if you want to clear out the backlog, you know, in our system, we actually set a time limit. So if you have a ticket that's been open for a year, it's actually going to get closed. I get an email in my inbox from Linear that says, hey, this ticket is expired. It's going to be closed. I can reopen it if I want. But a lot of times...
Wait a minute. Moment of truth on the Accessibility Craft podcast. Are my tickets being closed? Now, it probably would have told me too. Would I get an email if my tickets were being closed?
Well, if you look at Accessibility Checker, there's not that many open tickets right now because, I mean, there's a good deal made this year, but there's not a lot of old ones. So,
because you guys are awesome.
We try to triage and, you know, clean the issue list as much as we can. With a small team, we can always do better. But what should happen is those tickets should be really individual instances should be broken into separate tickets. Why did the back and forth so contentious? Because this seems like an easy fix, right?
And at some point, Joe said maybe we shouldn't have them open in a new tab. And instead, what we should do is have like the heartbeat be aware if the page has been saved and instead pop up right like a browser alert, you know? Yeah. So I do think it is interesting. There's different ways to approach this kind of thing. You don't have to default to, if you're in the middle of a form type process, all links open in a new tab. Maybe instead it's know that they haven't saved and alert them and say, are you sure?
I mean, or link them to a new window and just put an icon and a screen reader warning that it's going to open in a new window. Gutenberg, I think, does a really good job at this. There's several links throughout Gutenberg that opening a new window, and they always have the icon. I'm not sure if they always have the screen reader text, but...
I think they do.
I don't know. This is a very interesting ticket, how it could actually, like, persist for 13 years.
Mm-hmm. Any other patches we want to highlight from this list?
So, this is a cool one. You know how when you upload an image to the media library, it will sometimes pull in, like... the metadata about who the author was or if you have a caption or anything like that. Well, somewhat new-ish, newer than when that was coded in for the media library, there is now the ability to save alt text in the IPTC format, in images. And WordPress was not importing that in. But in 7.0, now when you upload an image, if you've already saved alt text on it in your image editing software, it will import that into WordPress. So I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's handy. That's handy.
Yeah. I mean, as long as that alt text is correct. because we all know that text can be modified based on the context in which the image lives, too, sometimes. So you still got to be mindful.
For sure.
Yeah. I'm trying to think about what else is sort of interesting. Oh, on the topic of, you mentioned like tiny fixes that are kind of neat. There was a whole conversation, again, a very old ticket, I'm pretty sure, about the fact that there are redundant edit links. So that when you're on the post page and you see the table of all the posts, you could click the title of the post to go to the editor, or there's a little edit that shows up if you hover or if you tab through. And Andrea had opened this 11 years ago, it looks like. And again, another ticket that had a lot of conversation and back and forth, because initially he was like, maybe we should hide this so there aren't redundant tab stops. But then where it actually ended up, and we can link to this, Joe's comment that I thought was really interesting, and there's back and forth about it, but it was like, I mean, this is the same as for a mouse user. They'd have the same pause because they'd have to go to the title, hover, and then go click the edit link. But what they ended up doing was these links used to have different ARIA labels that made it clear that they went to the edit page, but that was different text than what was visible. And after all the discussion, it was determined that, hey, no, it would actually be better for the text of the link to just be the visible text.
Mm-hmm.
And adding this extra ARIA label, it's odd, and it could also cause problems because, for example, on the post title, just because default WordPress is to send that to the editor, that doesn't mean that some theme or plugin developer hasn't said, actually, I want this to go to the view on the front end, right? And then if you do that, the ARIA label that WordPress is adding is explicitly wrong. So that was, again, the fix was, let's delete something that we thought was a good idea from an accessibility standpoint, but actually realized later on, nope, this was trying too hard. Let's go back to basics.
Yep. Sometimes the best ARIA is no ARIA. So we added a feature to the image block that allows you to mark it as decorative. So before, when you would add the image block, you know, it would instruct you to like leave it blank if it's a decorative image. And where this is fine and it will make it decorative, where it's not fine is we don't explicitly know whether or not the user intended for that image to be decorative or not. And now with the checkbox that you can actually check, you're explicitly saying, this is decorative, treated as decorative. Whereas before, you know, they could have just forgot to add alt text and then the screen reader just doesn't see it. And what this does is allows us to add a role to it. And we had some interesting conversation too about whether we had typically thought that role presentation was the way to go to mark images as decorative, but Joe Dawson kind of suggested that we go with role none because they essentially mean the same thing.
But it's shorter.
But it's shorter.
That was hilarious. I was like, it's the same. And he's like, yeah, but that one's shorter. So let's just do that.
Right. So why do this, right? Besides, you know, people being able to explicitly say that it's a decorative image too. But what it does is it allows, you know, scanners such as the accessibility checker to actually know that you meant this 100% to be a decorative image. It helps with machine learning, you know, if you're using AI to scan the page. And a big thing with 7.0 was adding in the AI connector to be able to use AI inside of WordPress. And if you install the AI Experiments plugin, you can actually generate alt text for certain images and things like that. Or there's plenty of other plugins that allow you to generate alt text. But what if that AI knew that that image is explicitly decorative? Don't waste tokens generating alt text for it.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably other reasons. Am I missing some, Amber?
Yeah, and I mean, we're talking about accessibility in WordPress 7.0, but that isn't even necessarily, at least for everyday people, I would argue, the big news of 7.0, which is the AI integration layer or API layer, which I'm sure will have accessibility implications, but there's already interesting conversations happening with that too.
I mean, if this wasn't the Accessibility Craft podcast, I feel like we'd be talking about that integration and whether or not that is a security risk. But this is what I am hearing. Maybe you shouldn't put your API input field. I don't know.
Well,
what do you
don't
think,
have,
Steve?
You don't have to put your API credentials in that field. You can use a constant, like in the config file or an environment variable at the server level.
Okay, hold on. Pause for a second. You.
Yeah, a nerd.
Me, Chris, typical WordPress users
right.
are going to go type their credentials in that.
But I will say that, you know, even at that level, that is just one little step to try to not have the key actually visible in there. But the key doesn't get encrypted when it goes into the database if you put it in the input field. So I would at the very least use a constants or an environment variable to define that. But I would probably... Me personally, I would caution against the stuff on a production environment altogether.
Yeah.
And I mean,
if you don't have a spending limit set on your API key and you put it in the site, make sure you have a spending limit set like before you do that.
It's a faucet. Once you turn the faucet on, anybody can get water from it, right? Like, so any plugin, any theme can, if they detect that there are API keys, they can utilize it. And so there is no permissions layer built in that respect. And really any permissions layer that would be built in WordPress, you'd be able to get around it because it's WordPress. It's a hook system. Like there's really nothing you could do to get around any kind of stopgap that would be put between the license key and who gets to use it, other than maybe outside of WordPress at the API level. It's an interesting thing. Now, I have tried it locally yesterday or earlier today, I forget, but I did try some of this locally, and I was using the Cloud extension to try to connect because I want to see what it's doing. And it immediately went to my theme file editor and wanted to change my functions.php file. I'm like, what are you doing?
Wait, what prompt did you give it? Well, how do you do that?
So you can create application passwords now. So I was given an application password to connect to the REST API on my local environment. And I had to use the extension because it's a local environment. It's sandboxed, a bunch of security stuff. But like, it immediately just, it couldn't get through. Something in the headers were being stripped out in the authentication, but it immediately just tried to go in and edit my functions.php file in the theme editor. I thought it was hilarious.
So next time, you need to first include in your skill listening to our episode on the Accessibility Craft podcast about cowboy coding.
Yeah, this is cowboy coding on a whole nother level.
Well, I think overall 7.0, you know, it had some good stuff for accessibility. It has some other interesting features. I don't know if it has, I think the things that most people were talking about ended up getting stripped out as far as collaborative editing. So I think it'll be more interesting to see what comes down the road. Maybe it's laying the foundation for a little bit more in the future. Well, any final thoughts before we sign off?
Nope, nothing from me other than I'm excited to play around with 7.0 in my local and see what Codex does to my functions.php file.
There you go. And my spice is all settling to the bottom of the glass.
Well, you didn't drink fast enough because mine is gone.
Well, we'll see you all for another conversation episode in a couple of weeks.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. Guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Accessibility Craft. If you found this episode valuable, please help us reach more people by subscribing, reviewing or liking the show, and sharing this with your colleagues. Accessibility Craft is a production of Equalize Digital, Inc. Steve Jones composed our theme music. To learn how Equalize Digital can support you on your accessibility journey, visit us at equalizedigital.com.